Hi friends, on today's podcast we have a special guest with us and we are excited about this. Malik Yoba from the show God Friended Me is on the show. Welcome to the show, Malik.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the background of the show and then follow that up with your part in the program.
Well, God Friended Me follows the life of a young man named Miles, who is an atheist, came an atheist after being raised in a family. His father's a pastor. After he loses his mother, after praying for her, she saved, and then she died anyway later on. And so the kid loses faith, and he kind of goes his own way and starts a podcast. He gets a friend request from a God account. At first, he doesn't believe that it could possibly be anything other than a prank from one of his friends. And then he's told to follow some people, which he refuses to do, and then he's kind of forced through a set of circumstances to follow them anyway, and he ends up saving some lives. And this kind of activity continues. That's the basic premise of the show. And I play the uncle, who has not forsaken him, who believes in him and supports him. And I'm the brother-in-law. I'm the brother of the mom. And I'm the good uncle that he can go to when the father gives him a hard time.
There's been several successful television programs in the past that had spiritual themes like Highway to Heaven, Touched by an Angel. What's different about this spiritually themed show?
Well, it's set in a world of social media, so the whole conceit of the show is that. But I think in some ways it's similar, right? Very similar to Touched by an Angel. And I just think that it's the right time for it again. I think that kind of programming has not been in the air for a while. And although these guys that created the show weren't trying to recreate that, I think that this is a show certainly for the time. People need a good healing. They need to feel good, especially on a Sunday night.
As a side note, you talked about Touched by an Angel, and I get to tell people on a regular basis, I interviewed an angel on here one time because I actually had Roma Downey on the podcast. I get to use that line. I interviewed an angel.
Hey, I've definitely been among living angels, that is for sure. There, not the ones on TV, but there are people that I've encountered that just make you shake your head and go, how do you do it?
That's right.
Like, how do you carry such light?
In the episode coming up on Sunday, you mentioned about your relationship with the star. That relationship gets put to the test a little bit because you've got some things that come out that you probably wished your fellow castmates in their roles wouldn't have found out.
Yeah, it was our teasing mom with that one.
Just a little, not too much.
Right. So what was the question on that?
The question was the relationship with you and the star, it gets put to the test a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, the faith and the relationship is definitely put to the test. Funny thing about that storyline, the two parts of this show that really resonated on a very personal level. One is my character plays a real estate developer, and I am that. I'm involved with a beautiful project in Baltimore, Maryland, so Central West, where we're developing an area that hasn't had development in decades, like over three decades or more, providing luxury home units, 262 units come online at the end of this year. And so when I read that, I literally took a pause from reading and I just laughed and I said, God, I see you. Oftentimes your life shows up in the work. And then the other part of the storyline, what my character actually does, which you're referring to, which we won't give away, I had a business partner that did the same thing.
Oh.
Another business that I had. And he did it repeatedly, but he didn't make good on it.
Oh.
And so when I saw that, I had a laugh again and go, wow. But I'm glad that the outcome is what it is in our show. But I think that in terms of question about faith and being tested, I mean, what's the point in having faith if you aren't tested?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're just walking around talking a good game. But unless the rubber hits the road and you're faced with obstacles and challenges that seem insurmountable, then what else do you have to lean on, right? Scripture says lean not on your own understanding. And that is true. I think that there's always greater wisdom to be had, to be learned, to experience, and to only see what's in front of you and only look at the challenge. But I think that one of the great challenges as humans is, regardless of what the conditions appear in front of us in any given moment, the vision on where we want to end up and what we want it to look like, even if we don't see all the steps in front of us. And that's true not just as a character in the show, but even as an actor, right? You know, most actors never know where their next paycheck is coming from. But someone like myself, who made his first movie in 1989, and my first big film, I did a couple of small things in 91, and then after that, but, you know, 93 with Cool Running, I've had the misfortune of having consistent opportunities to work as an actor. Yet I never know where it's coming from. And so fate plays a big part in that, you know, and a sense of mission and purpose. You know, I don't do what I do for selfish reasons. I do it because I believe that it's part of my calling. To tell stories that matter or encourage people, inspire them, and I believe that's why it continues to happen. So, like my character, you know, you have challenges, keep getting up, you keep getting up, and ultimately, always try to do the right thing.
That's a... One of my favorite lines is "do the right thing." We obviously know in the country today, especially today when we're talking the day after the midterm elections, that the country is divided in many different ways. But this show, it seems to be trying to unify people rather than dividing people. Can you comment on that?
Well, it is called the United States of America. You know, America is our democracy is an experiment. It's not a done deal. When this union was established, I didn't have rights. My ancestors didn't have rights to be even looked at as human, you know? And so, think about that, you know, like, the faith that it took from 1691 to 1865, you know, 400 years of slavery, whatever the first slave, you know, brought here. So I think that, you know, to have the faith that we shall overcome, to have the faith that America will live up to the true meaning of its creed, that's what I continue to strive for in my own way, you know. I you know, it's funny because with all of the division and all the hatred and all that stuff, I personally, and it doesn't necessarily too idealistic or just delusional, but my general experience day to day doesn't reflect that. And I think that, and not just because I live in New York City, because I you know, do have the opportunity to travel this country more than most Americans. Like, if you take any given city or any given state, most people are provincial. They really don't travel outside of their comfort area. And so when you have an opportunity to go to the Indiana of the world, I haven't been to Columbus, Indiana, but I've certainly been to Indianapolis and some of the surrounding cities, and I did the most of the 50 states. I did the, you know, all but a couple of continents. My experience is that people really want the same thing. If you have any group of people, whether they be white nationalists or black nationalists, whoever it is, or Asian, wherever you might be, you ask the question, how many people want love, want to be loved? 99.9% of hands go up. If you ask people, do you want to be protected? Do you want shelter? Do you want a good education? Do you want opportunity? We want the same thing. And individuals who feel it serves their interest to separate us around basic human needs and wants and scapegoat each other only do that for their selfish interest. They don't do that because they're trying to bring people together. They do it because if I keep these people apart, then that allows me to have power and control over this segment. And that's all I need. You know, and most people, when we talk about politics, there's a lot of this division isn't driven only by politics. It's driven by people's own individual thinking, oftentimes, that they already think it's individual thinking, right? But most of it's vulnerable, because I've never seen a child on their own, you know, talk about they hate people across faith or color lines, or, you know, they have to learn to hate. We can focus on that, or we can focus on God's presence. And I think that for all the haters, they should watch God's presence.
That segued into that pretty well, didn't it?
What's that?
That segued right into that really well.
Yeah, that's why we're here, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
About the show.
And, it worked perfect. Sometimes I have a difficult time segueing things in. You did it for me right there, so I'm thankful that you're working with me here.
Absolutely.
As we get ready to close, and before I say a word of prayer with you, tell me what you'd like viewers to take away from the series.
I just want people to feel more hopeful. I have three children, 20, 17, 16, and when I hear the stories, particularly the ones that are still in high school, of what they have to go through and their peer group and the levels of stress and anxiety and fear. See, like my middle daughter, her school has been on lockdown from the threat of an active shooter at least three times in the last couple of years. That's insanity that she has to deal with that. Not that it was too much better when I was a kid going to school. I got shot at 15. So then fast forward to 2012, I was promoting the show that purpose. Rick Warren, who wrote I'm sure you know, Purpose Driven Life, and the tagline is, "What on earth are you here for?" I used to do a workshop that I actually still do called Why Are You on This Planet? And I started that in my early 20s after I did the movie Cool Runnings, and that was how I was making money traveling around to New York City public schools doing this workshop. And then I've since gone on to prisons and corporate and all kinds of organizations and do this. But the basic thesis of the workshop examines the idea that no matter what it is that you decide might be a vocation or a vocation, part of what you must do is be of service to other people. And that's what I hope that we get from this show, is that, it happens all the time, right? Do one thing over here, you think about someone, and then you run into them, or, they call you, or you meet someone, oh my God, I can't believe that you know so-and-so, and it happens. And it's just a reminder that we truly are all connected to the one. And one, we're all, extensions of the lens on the tree, And I think that if we could continue to remind ourselves, that's really important.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking your time out to be with us today. As I mentioned earlier, I close in prayer, so let's do that now. Father, I thank you for this few minutes that I've had to spend with Malik, and I thank you for the show, God Friended Me. I pray that some of the goals that we talked about on here, about unity and not division, and being able to ask hard questions like Malik's nephew does in the show, Miles. He talks in his podcast about asking difficult questions. And so, Father, we have to do that at times. I just thank you for the lessons that this show can teach us. Father, I pray for our country and ask that you would help us to come together. I pray for Malik's family, and he mentioned his children, and it's a difficult time to live as a 20-year-old or a 17 or 16-year-old. And so I pray for them and the way things happen in the school systems. Father, just keep them safe. Just raise them up in the way that would make you happy. Father, I ask for a blessing upon each person in the cast of this show, all the behind-the-scenes people, everyone that has a part. Use this show for your will, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. 30 years of doing this business stuff. I've never prayed at the end of the interview, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I've actually heard that before, but not regularly.
Keep doing it. Don't stop.
All right, my man. Terrence, Uncle T, several different names Malik goes by on the show. The show is God Friended Me on CBS. This Sunday's episode is a good one. We've already seen it. So God bless you, Malik.
God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. I want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. I want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites, we want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, to learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.